Yeah. Some say that you don't have to mention the blood, that is just too old-fashioned anymore. Well, they got here too late, I'm already on board, and I'll ride this ship to the shore. I'm riding this old ship of Zion, so many before me rode it safely o'er. Jesus, the captain, has lost no, not one, so I'll ride this ship to the shore. What it takes for others, it still takes today, a washing from that crimson flow. Confessions at Calvary cleanse every sin stains and makes one whiter than snow. I'm riding this old ship of Zion, so many before me rode it safely o'er. Jesus, the captain, has lost no, not one, so I'll ride this ship to the shore. I'm riding this old ship of Zion, so many before me rode it safely o'er. Jesus, the captain, has lost no, not one, so I'll ride this ship to the shore. Jesus, the captain, has lost no, not one, so I'll ride this ship to the shore. I'll ride this ship to the shore.
Good to be here. Good to see you. Good to have each one here tonight. We changed weather, didn't it? Wow. I don't know who to blame it on. I tried to blame it on a few folks as I talked to them coming into church. Some folks said they went to sleep and woke up, and that's what happened. I ain't calling no names, but you're sitting on this side of the church anyhow, so you can figure that out. Turn your Bible to the book of Isaiah, 61st chapter. Headed over in after that, I believe it's Luke, all right? So, same reading. We're going to read the same verse, huh? Twice. The Lord has, it's an important lesson we're going to learn tonight. One important lesson. And I've read the scriptures where it says his word won't return void. I've read that one. And a lot of times when you hear that verse, you hear it when it seems like nothing is accomplished. And you feel like the words are just going out and they just drop off to nowhere. But the Lord put that in there so that we would understand maybe when it seems like nothing is happening on the outside. But God works on the inside. You can have a smile on your face and be miserable inside. And many lost people, many people that don't know the Lord, will put on that front. And they'll tell you things is all right. But on the inside, they're just like Brother Larry said, they're a ship, but they're on that troubled sea. And the Lord knows what he's going to do. And we're going to read a scripture that may not make a lot of sense, but hopefully it will in a little bit later on. Now, in the book of Isaiah, you know these probably well as I do, but I want to read it anyhow. The 61st chapter in verses number 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. May we pray. I thank you, Father, for the word. I pray, God, you bless God, help us encourage our hearts, but most of all, speak to that one, God, that needs you most. And I pray, God, you speak to our hearts, use us in a way, be pleasing to you, in Jesus' name, amen. Back to the book of Luke now. That's only, I'll reference it, but I won't be going back to it. The book of Luke, chapter number 4, if I didn't tell you, and I want to read verses 18. I want to read a lot, but I'm gonna hold it, okay? Verses 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. Now, when we first mentioned this, and if you compare the verses, and I like to do a lot of comparing word for word stuff. I like word for word. I don't like to deviate from it. I kind of even when I'm writing a verse down, I write it just like it is. And even though I may say a lot of verses that I won't say it exactly, but I try to let you know that. But I want you to hear this. Jesus is speaking, knowing what was said over in the Old Testament. Now, when we read of the Old Testament, when I read in the Bible and I look prior to Matthew, many of the lessons that I learn reading those verses, knowing that it's pointing to Jesus. I can tell you so many times that I like to be able to see it, even though I might not say it, but even though I see, boy, man, that's talking about the Lord. That's talking about the Lord. Now, on this case, the Lord brings up things that was pinned down in the book of Isaiah, and he is repeating what was said. Now, let me kind of get you to a point that I want you to see. When him being into the synagogue, the temple, if you read this passage in this chapter, when he goes there, there's so many things that he could have read. There's so many things that he could have done. Many of the things that he could have done would have not made sense to anyone that was hearing it. If we go back to when he was 12 years old and he enters into the temple, you remember they were asking him questions, and boy, he was answering their questions, and he would ask them questions, and them being so smart people there, boy, they ought to have had all the answers right off. But you know, the Lord has the ability to say things that man just don't have an answer for. A little bit further. So was this the case? No, this wasn't the case. In fact, We're bringing something to pass. We're bringing something to pass that was told, and I'm going to just use this. This was prophetic word that the Spirit of the Lord is coming. Now when the Spirit of the Lord is coming to this earth, me and you say, well, we know who that is. And if we read Isaiah and read Isaiah alone, we got a picture of somebody coming, but he's coming for a reason. Now I want to establish the word here. I want to establish something, and I'm going to repeat, but I want you to listen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. And he doesn't leave out something. He actually uses the word poor. In Isaiah, it said, the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. So what was said over in Isaiah might be just a little bit different as far as exact words, but it's not any different in the meaning. We know the Scripture says the meek shall inherit the earth. We know according to the Scriptures that there, that how hard it is that they that have riches will enter into the kingdom of heaven. We know that when God speaks to a man's heart, he doesn't look at man's riches to be able to look to the heart. But what God does is reveals his heart to man. I am so thankful that God considers me and you in every decision that he makes. We're not special people. We are God's people. And being God's people, God says things and does things that is the ingredient to our heart. Now listen as I listen to this. When Jesus was betrayed by Judas, when he was betrayed, he told his other disciples, one of you's of the devil. He that dips the sop in the dish, that's who it is. But when it came time for Judas to do what he did. Now remember, don't you know that God speaks to my heart? But God also speaks to the heart of the lost. God knows the heart of the lost just like he knows my heart. Being a child of the King, we grow in the Lord. We mature in the Lord. We learn scriptures, we do more. The more we grow in the Lord, the more we should be like him. Okay? But a lost person, if God spoke to a lost person as God, and that's what he can do. And friend, when God speaks his word, the word is final. In fact, no lost people will enter into heaven. Not one. Not one. His word's final. But God comes down to us at our sinful level to speak to us. Now, if he didn't come to us that way, we'd never hear him. We wouldn't hear him. Because you know the difference. If I was to talk to the president tonight, he'd have to come down to my level. I sure can't go up to his level. You follow me? Mine and his conversation would not be, me and I could say, hey, why you got some spare time? Hit that button, it blows up half of these crazy folks in this United States. He would not listen to me. He'd say, I can't do that. I said, yeah, you can. It's a different level. It's a different level. I know he can't do that, but it don't hurt me to ask. Listen, watch this. Judas had made his mind up. God knew his mind was made up. Now, being lost in this world, we believe that that Spirit of God goes into the heart of man and speaks to that heart of man the same words that Isaiah said, the same that we read there, the same words, the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is what drives me and you as Christians, but it is also the same thing that warns those that are lost. It's the same. It just, how it does it, I can't explain it. It comes to a heart of a believer and enters in and makes his home there and abides there. That's what we read in Revelation. It makes his home there. He'll abide with us. But to a lost person, he speaks. So he spoke to Judas. And he says to Judas, are you sure you're going to do this thing? Do you want to do this thing? In other words, he spoke the language on the exterior that the other disciples really heard the words, but they didn't grab the words. But when Christ spoke to him, even in words that you can hear with this ear, those words penetrated the heart. The preaching of the gospel to those that are lost, they'll hear the words, but the Spirit is the one that enters the heart. And when that spirit enters the heart, we don't know what word it is that speaks to them the most. I can tell you this. When a lost person hears that they're doomed and bound for a devil's hell, many of them will just like water off a duck's back. They hear it, but they don't listen. They hear it. They know good and well if they died tonight, hell be their home. When Jesus began to talk to him, he finally got to the point, and I'm using these words, but I want you to hear it. He had an opportunity, but he chose to reject the opportunity. And what Jesus told him next was, "That thou doest do quickly." Which means that door just closed. Watch this. But here's what he says to him, or to others, so that he can hear. It'd been better for that man to have never been born. Let me read you this part of this verse. The Spirit of the Lord is, He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now, you know, a brokenhearted person in the Old Testament, there were many. A brokenhearted person in the New Testament, there are many. And if you want to heal the brokenhearted, you know, a lot of times it could be the same identical way. Could be. But watch this. With Judas. Did Judas have a broken heart? Did Judas have a broken heart? Do you ever know of Judas ever crying? Do you ever know of Judas ever praying? Do you ever find that anything that the Lord said affected the heart? In fact, if you remember and look at your verses, there are times when people like the Apostle Peter really, really had to get down in the 21st chapter of John when he says, Jesus said, "Do you love me? Thou knowest that I love thee," is a perfect answer. That meant it was not outward words, it was inward words that Christ and the Apostle Peter shared. Judas was not brokenhearted. Judas didn't leave the upper room going out and being saying, "Well, he knows all about me. I'm sorry for what I done." No, what did he do? He goes and he tries to undo his actions by returning the money, and that didn't work. But never once did he go to Jesus and say, "I'm sorry for what I've done." And what Christ could have done was heal the brokenhearted. If he heals mine and your broken heart, Judas is no different. But what he did was he let the word stand for his own self and did not. In fact, lost person tonight, if you reject God, Christ is able to heal the brokenhearted, but Christ will not go beyond his word. That's what he said. And it's an application, and there's one more that I want to make in here. I want you to notice this. He mentioned to heal the brokenhearted. He also says to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised. Categories, and I want to just kind of group them together, but categories of people with needs that are so great that the Lord uses this. And if I want to keep Judas in mind, Judas had a need, but Judas did not want to recognize his need. Just like lost people do now. They know but they reject. They know. They know they need God. They know there's something missing in their heart. They know that this world's good is not going to be for their gain. And they know that. And you know what they do with that? Nothing. Now here's what's so amazing about this verse. The next verse says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Quickly, let me say this. I'm going to go quickly through this part. The second coming of our Lord. Isaiah mentions this. The second coming of our Lord is in the future. It is not when us as the church goes up, the Lord doesn't come back and put his feet upon this earth. Friend, when that trumpet sounds and we go to where he is, he doesn't come to where we are. We go up toward him. And when we go up toward him, that removes the church. But wait, I don't want to talk about the church. I want to talk about the future. When the Lord comes back, this acceptable year of the Lord is not to bring salvation. The acceptable year of the Lord is when God comes back and we're going to see in Revelation that he is going to be not recognized as the Savior of the world, but he's going to be recognized as King of kings and Lord of lords. Big difference, isn't it? It's a big difference to know that salvation is today. Today. I can come back if the Lord tarries and tell you next Sunday, guess what? Today is the day of salvation. I can continue to repeat that message until the day you die. But on the day that you die, on the day that you die, salvation might be still today for others. But if you die lost, it is not to you. The acceptable year of the Lord is now. Now. You can accept him now. But according to the book of Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with me. And I use that verse knowing what it means there. But there's going to come a time when the Spirit of God will not speak. He will not speak. He will not say a word. When this prophecy, when this was written down, and Jesus said that, you know what we read? He closed the book. When he closes the book, I like Revelation. It says, when it come down to reading that, no man was worthy to open. No man had the ability to open that book. And I'm thankful to the good Lord that he had the ability to open that book. He is the one that can open that book and he's the one that can close that book. And while I'm opening them books, he is the one to put your name in the Lamb's book. And guess what, friend? Unless you come through him, your name won't be there. The key is knowing that he brings his language down to you. To you. I said a little bit this morning, and I want to reiterate. You can be saved by not knowing how to pray. You really can. But let me add just a little bit more. You can be saved and not know how to really communicate. Not knowing what God is able to do, but just entrusting him to do it. You give power to Christ to do what he will in your life. Now, what does that mean? That means to a sinner, God save me. You know, it's not about joining the church that's important. That's not really important. When I get to heaven and the book's going to be open, it's not going to be Missionary Baptist Church book that's going to be open. Not important. down here, it's important to dwell together. Important right here to come together and worship God. It's important for us to dwell together. And I can give you many scriptures that the Lord has left. But you know what he doesn't ever mention after the rapture of the church? We're the bride of Christ. Our title, in a sense, changes. But he doesn't mention the church like it does right now. And if you will listen to God, this prophetic word that God speaks that's so far above us in actions and thoughts and deeds, but God will bring it right down and speak to your heart. The lost of this world are not going to be able to see the Lord in the form that he is to you today if you reject him tomorrow. Final thing. It'd been better for that man to have never been born. And I'm going to say some things, and I want you to listen. I'm not one to throw folks in hell and say, well, this, that, and the other. But when you reject God, hell is your home. But hell is not the worst of it. Oh, that's bad. Hold on. Friend, whenever you brought forth out of hell to be judged, here comes the worst of it. The worst of it is when God pronounces the judgment on you and you're cast in the lake of fire forever and forever and forever. And guess what? Former things are passed away. Guess what? You will be gone from everybody's memory from then forward. Now, why is that important? I can use Judas as an example of somebody not to fashion your life. I can tell you that Judas, as far as we know, never accepted Christ, never repented. And if you never accept Christ and never repent, guess where you are? But I can say still, he's an example how not to live your life. But he will not be an example to no one after the judgment. You may mean something to a lot of different folks. You mean something to your family. You may mean something to your friends. All kinds of acquaintances. But friend, if you reject God, you'll mean nothing to no one after the judgment. Ain't that something? And on the other hand, my name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. It may not mean nothing to you, but it sure means something to me. If you're lost without God, I can beg and plead with you. And I can tell you hell's going to be your home. But I can tell you God don't want you to go there. That's the reason he communicates directly to your heart and not in just word only. Preach the acceptable day of the Lord and close the book. Close the book on us one day. My life in this world will be over. And when it's over, my book is closed. What about yours? Let's have a song of invitation, Brother Greg. 3:7. I know the Lord. I know he's high and lifted up, in my opinion. There's none higher. I like the way he talks to me. Sometimes I'm ashamed how I talk to him. Sometimes he just shows me how bad I am. I got news for you. He still loves me. He loves me on my worst day. And being a sinner, he loves you if you'll accept him. May we stand at our feet. Speak, if he's speaking to you, come and trust him in the free pardon of sin, knowing he can save your soul.